Job chapter 14, if you have a Bible with you, Job 14. And where I go to church, my son's my pastor there, Brother Frazier, Leland Frazier, preached a revival there. And last night they had five or six, I'm not sure, got saved there. My grandson, 13-year-old, he got saved. Several others, so they're having a meeting there. So you pray for them that the Lord would continue. Was this going to be a little 3-day shot in the arm kind of meeting that they decided to go all week with it? So you never know. The Lord may break out and it may last longer than that. But the Lord's moving there and God's blessed, and I'm proud to be a member of that church. If you're ever up there, Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, it's about maybe 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how you drive from Pigeon Forge, maybe 50 minutes to an hour from Gatlinburg, right off Interstate 81, Exit 8, which is about, everybody been to Gatlinburg pretty much, you know? Well, if you come back down on the interstate going north, where 40 splits off, goes to North Carolina, 81 goes on up. You go up there about 10 more miles on 81, it's Exit 8. Church is about 3 or 4 miles off that highway there, off the interstate. It's easy to find. Faith Independent Baptist Church. If you're ever up there on vacation and decide to go to church, most Baptists don't when they're on vacation. But if you're one of the shepherds, you'd enjoy the meeting. It's really a blessing. God's really got his hand on that place. My boy, first church he ever pastored, been there about 4 years. And I hope you don't think I'm bragging, but I am in the right way. I'm proud. There's about 12 there. They're about to close the door and sell the place. And he took that church. They run 100, 120, 30 people on Sunday morning, and God's really helped them around there. So I believe the Lord put my boy there, and he's just a simple, everyday fella, and a common, everyday fella. The Lord's blessed, and I'm honored. I'm thrilled to death. Amen. It tickles me to death. Then my grandson, like every little boy in church, he's made profession before. But last night he calls to Papa, I saved tonight. He's 13. He's taller than I am. He's about 6 foot himself already. He's excited about the Lord. You pray for me. I'm struggling on which way to go here. I'm going to stay with my original thought. Hope it's. And it will take me. I'm going to warn you up front. It's going to take me a little while, okay? It's just one of these sermons that probably need two services to preach it. And don't get scared. It ain't going to be that long. But at the same time, it does take a little longer time to deliver it. And I'll try to get through it and say something that will be a help to you. Job chapter 14, verse 1. About everybody here tonight can quote this verse. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Lord, we thank you for the good day. Thank you for the kindness of this church, this pastor, and the hospitality he's extended to me, the good place furnished to stay, and it's a blessing. Thank you for these young people and the song service tonight and all these little young'uns, Lord, the life, a lot of life in here. We just pray you bless them and bless this church and use me tonight to be a help to him in Christ's name, amen and amen. Here, you know, as I'm sure your preachers preached on Job, I got one little outline I scribbled down that somebody preached, and he said Job was crippled by bankruptcy, crushed by bereavement, covered with boils, cursed by his wife, criticized by the brethren. In other words, Job was going through a tough time. And here, when he writes this down, or he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And Job feels like his life is going by and getting away from him, and there's no stopping to it. In other words, life's very brief. Most of the time when we preach from this, we put the emphasis on man that is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. That's true, you know, whether you're saved or not. If you live very long, time is short, and trouble's sure. Right. Being saved doesn't make us exempt from the same heartaches that everybody else goes through. The only difference in us and them is we don't go it alone. Right. The Lord said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I go with you always, even to the end of the world. So we don't have to go the trip alone. But I don't want to preach on the trouble part, but I'd like to emphasize the part here, man that is born a woman is a few days. In other words, time's very short. 70, 40 because of strength. Not very many people get past 80. And I'm not trying to depress you if you're near there, but that's just how it is. I'm 72. Amen. That's not the end of the world, but I can see it from here. Hallelujah. Amen. I do know I'm on the downhill side of this thing. My mother died. She's 77. My dad's 76. My older brother was 60. My sister's 72. Got a younger brother that's still living. If that has anything to do with my longevity, I don't have much time left. Amen. I don't have much time left. And I'm not worried about it, but amen, it's a reality. If you don't realize that, amen, you got your head in the sand. It's just truth. Amen. And the Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. You ever heard anybody say, well, when it's your time, it's your time. But truth of the matter is, you can shorten your time. Amen. 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 You can sow to your flesh and reap corruption, or you can sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Depend on how you treat yourself. Amen. Depend on if you're saved or not. You know, when I was a boy, I was a rebel, lost, family lost, and amen, we scattered, went every different direction. I left home as a boy, amen, never did go back except to visit, and really, I didn't honor my mom and dad like I should have. My boy's grown now, and I, all kidding aside, he used to say, Dad, what does that mean if you don't honor your mother and father? If you honor your father and mother, you may live long on earth. I said, well, let me give it to you in the Hebrew and the Greek, son. Seeing you're too stupid to get it in English. Amen. That simply means you don't do what I say, I'm going to slap your brains out. Hallelujah. So that helped him, amen, though he caught on that way. But truth of the matter is, you know, James said, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears just a little while and vanishes away. But before he makes that statement, talks about somebody said they're going to go into such a city, amen, and buy and sell, continue our year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what another day bring forth or another day may bring about. Then he said, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for just a little while, vanishes away, kind of like the morning fog. Amen. Sometimes you get up, there's a fog. Time you get ready to go to work, go out the door, the fog's gone. Amen. That's pretty much what life is like. Bible said, boast thyself not of another day, for you know not what another day may bring forth. Proverbs 29:1 said, he that being often reproved, heartless neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He said, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen. When you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Yesterday's gone. The only time you are guaranteed right now is the life you're living this very moment. And a lot of people don't get that far down the road. Amen. But here, I'm preaching on the how brief life is. And it's not an exciting sermon, but it's a truthful sermon, okay? Amen. And I hope it doesn't depress you, amen. Some of you already look like you are, so I don't want to drive you no further down into the dumps. But the true matter is, Ephesians 5, it said, awake thou the sleeping, and rise from the dead, Christ to give thee life. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And be not unwise, but understand what the world, the Lord, the will of the Lord is. Then he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein except he be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make merry as unto the Lord. Amen. So here, redeeming the time. You don't have much time. One place he said, work while it's day, night cometh, and no man worketh. Amen. You know, the critics of the Bible, I'm getting ahead of myself, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12 said, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come, and you have no pleasure in them. Now, if you're already kind of down in the dumps, don't read that chapter. Amen. Talks about your eyesight going bad, hearing going bad, your teeth falling out. Amen. Your legs getting weak and trembling. Every little thing's a burden to you. And then it talks about going back to the dust. Amen. So don't read that if you're already down the dust. It will not encourage you much. Hallelujah. But remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. You know, one thing the Bible talks about, you and I to say, to give the first fruits of our increase to the Lord. And one thing about me, I regret, I was turned 24 just a few days after I got saved. I wish I'd gotten sooner, saved sooner. Amen. While you're young, while you're strong. By the way, young people, there will be a day when you don't jump out of bed. Amen. You'll get out in sections. Hallelujah. You want to make sure what's popping ain't breaking. That's some of these older people. That's just happening. Amen. And it happens real quick in your life. But I'm 72, and I got here faster than I meant to. Hallelujah. Amen. But really, I'm amazed that I made it this far, the way I treated myself. You know, the critics of the Bible, the ones that criticize and deny the book of Genesis and the creation of God, and we call them evolutionists. Amen. They're just ignorant, lost people. Amen. When it comes to Scripture, the same people are critics of the book of Job. They have a hard time believing that this could, all these things that happened to Job could possibly happen to one man. But this book doesn't say there was a man from the land of Oz. It said there was a man from the land of Oz. This book's not a fairy tale, foolishness, amen, or fiction. This book is a fact like the rest of the Bible. These things actually happened to this one brother, amen, that God used here. And we glean and get strength from all these things we read about Job. Life's very brief. Amen. I used to work at the funeral home part-time, kind of like pastoring a Baptist church sometimes. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, working there, you know, sometimes you don't have business. Amen. Somebody say, how's business? Well, you can't say it's good or bad when you're in a funeral business. The truth of the matter is, one thing about it, when you're there sometime when you don't have a funeral going on, you sit around there and you collect insurance money. They come in, pay pre-need things and all that, and you talk to people, amen, about the weather, just about whatever, friendly folks. And a few days later, you're picking them up in the back of a hearse. And you just think to yourself, I just saw them. I just talked to them. You never get used to the fact that they're gone. And they went very quick. Amen. Life gets away from us. Amen. Job here feels like his life is getting away from him. And truthfully, it seems like it is. All the things that he's going through. I want to illustrate here several different things about how brief life is, and I will try to hurry through them without wearing you. I know you got work tomorrow, and I know you got youngins in school, and I understand all that. Amen. And I try to consider that, but it'll take me just a few minutes, and you bear with me. I'll hurry. I talk fast. You listen fast. Amen. Somebody said you talk too fast. I drink a lot of caffeine. Hallelujah. Amen. Gets me wired up. So when you come here, me, drink your Mountain Dew before you get here, and you can keep up. Amen. Hallelujah. But you look over in Job chapter 7. Look over there with me, and I'll go through these thoughts, and maybe it'll help us tonight. Amen. Here in Job chapter 7, Job talking about how brief life is, how fast the days of his life are going by. He said in verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Here Job talking about this shuttle, this weaver's shuttle with this movement, speaks to the creations of our life. What are we putting together with this short span of time that God give us here on earth? You know that shuttle, if you've ever seen an antique, or been in an antique store, and watch an old time weaver shuttle, and you know that weaver, he feeds that material into that shuttle, and he turns that wheel, and that shuttle goes back and forth, putting this material that the weaver has put in there, and he's weaving a garment, amen, to cover someone's nakedness or bring some warmth on a cold night, amen. Here that weaver shuttle goes back and forth. I woke up this morning very early, and the sun's going down. This day's about over, somewhat like that shuttle going back and forth, like the days of our life. We get up, we go to bed, amen. God's put some talents and treasures, amen, and things in our life. He sent some trials and tribulations and troubles to hone us up and toughen us up. Amen. My question is tonight, as your days come and go, amen, the older you get, you know them old-time garment makers, they're a little slower, but we live in a computerized age where the garment makers of our day turn out hundreds of thousands of garments a day. Amen. And what the point is here, in our day, as you get older, things seem to, they seem to go by faster. Amen. Exponentially, you could say. That word, I had to look it up. It just means very fast. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is. Amen. And life just seems to speed up the closer you get towards the end. Amen. My question is, and I'm not trying to beat up on you or anything, but what are you creating? What are you putting together with your life? Is your life putting together something good, something godly, something to bring some warmth and comfort to somebody in this cold, unfriendly, ungodly world? Soon the shuttle, soon my shuttle, soon my life. God may let me live a little longer, maybe. Amen. But most folks don't make it past 80 or so. But you know, that's not too far down the road for me. Amen. And I'm not worried about it one bit. But I'd like to think that the rest of the time that I got, that I'm putting something together that'll help somebody in this cold, ungodly world. What are you creating? Are you just wasting your life? You're just doing your thing. God's the farthest thing from your thoughts. Just going about your life like you're the one that controls your life, like you're the one that made your life. Are you just wasting your life doing nothing, living in sin, doing what you want, not what God wants? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not trying to be ugly, but this shuttle with this movement speaks to the creation of our life. What are you creating? What are you putting together? And then also here, chapter 7, and we looked at the shuttle with its movement, which speaks to the creation of our life. But here in verse 7, he said, "Oh, remember that my life is wind, mine eyes shall no more see good." And Job here, he said, "My eyes shall see no more good." He compares life, the brevity or how fast life goes, like a just a gust of wind. Amen. This wind with its motion speaks to the causations of our life. What are we causing as we swiftly blow by? Amen. You ever heard anybody say you see the wind blowing the other day? You've never seen the wind blow in your life. You've only felt the wind, or you've seen the leaves and trees moving when the wind. You've only seen the evidence of where the wind has been. I read somewhere, if God stopped the motion of the wind, the wheat, there's life, natural life in the motion of the wind. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, during the tribulation, he's going to shut down the wind. Amen. If the wind stopped its motion, the wheat fields would die. The corn fields would die. And you and I literally smother to death. There's natural life in the motion of the wind. But Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's the sound of, but canst tell whence it cometh, or whether it goes." Just like there's natural life in the motion of the natural wind, there's no spiritual life unless the wind of the Holy Ghost blows by where you're at. There's no life without the motion of the wind. Amen. You know, nothing like a good cool breeze on a hot day when you're working and sweating, come across your sweaty brow, that's a blessing. But the same wind sometimes comes in hurricanes and tornadoes, wipes out neighborhoods, kills people. That's not a blessing, that's a burden. I'm going to ask you something. As your life swiftly goes by like a gust of wind compared to eternity, are you a blessing or are you a burden? Amen. Are you a cool breeze on a hot day to somebody, fevered brow? Are you blowing some, and flying some little boy's kite and bringing a smile to his face? Are you wreaking havoc on folks as you go by? You're doing one of the two, amen. He spoke about the shuttle with his movement, which speaks to the creation of our life. The wind with its motion, which speaks to the causation of what are you causing as you swiftly blow by. And then he speaks about here in chapter 7, verse 9, he said, as the cloud is consumed and passed away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Spoke about the shuttle with his movement, the wind with his motion. But here he speaks about the cloud with its mystery, which speaks of the configurations of our life. What do people see as you swiftly blow by? Amen. He said, we're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick give light. And all that's in the house, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. He said, we're the salt of the earth. If the salt's lost its savor, it shall be salted. It is thenceforth good for nothing. Be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. I've never met a saved person and sorry they got saved, but I've met some sorry saved people. Hallelujah. Amen. We had a tender moment right there. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, amen. But true matter is, you know, this cloud with its mystery speaks of the configuration of our, what do people see as we swiftly move by. Now, you know, my youngins got an imagination. They see people, they see things that adult people don't see. You know, and my wife's just like you. You know, she wants to go on vacation, take the youngin somewhere, you know. And my boy, me, I was taking him to Disney World. Two times I've been there, my first and last. Help yourself with that one. That's a long time ago when he was little. Does this cost $65 back in per person to get in? Pay $65, you drive 500, 600 miles, get there. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. And you pay $65 to go in a place and look at a guy dressed up in a dog suit called Goofy. He's not Goofy, you're the goofy one. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But it's cheaper than alimony, so you do what you're told. Isn't that right? And then they want to ride that Space Mountain. You ever been there? That's that roller coaster in the dark. You ride that after you eat them hot dogs, been under that sun lamp for 3 days. Amen. Two Coca-Colas, $38. That's a sin against God. And then they want to ride that roller coaster, and that makes you throw up the hot dogs and the Coca-Colas. And time you get back home, you're talking about divorce. That's a vacation, amen. How am I doing right there? But you know, just trying to be a good dad going down the road, the boys in the back. And got all her stuff in there and headed down there. About 30 miles from the house, he said, are we about there yet, Dad? And you reach back there and slap him four or five times and tell him to shut up. You'll tell him when you get there. You're just so glad you're getting to go and everything. Hallelujah. But you know I love him, and I do love him. I love him. That ain't nothing I wouldn't do. But true matter is, you know, they see things that we don't see. Speaking of this cloud, it's a mystery. Speaks of the configuration. What do people see as your life? Not going down the road, you know, my boy's like, y'all, when he was little, he didn't talk. My boy said, you make it sound like I was challenged or something, son. But he'd say, look out, Daddy, there's a horsey in the tire. Well, you know, make sure you're in the center of the road and everything because you don't want to ignore him. The time you make sure your car's in the middle of the road and everything's safe, and by the time you turn and look, the wind has changed that formation of that cloud where he saw that horse. And by the time you turn and look, you say, where was it at, son? He said, it was right there, Dad. That's the way life is. It was right there. I wish I could go right back there and do that right. I wish I hadn't acted that way back there. I wish I'd gotten saved when I was just a little boy. I wish. But it was right there. That's how life is. It was right there. It's gone. That part. Am I doing any good here? Amen. Well, he spoke about the shuttle with its movement, the wind with its motion, the cloud with its mystery. But look over in chapter 9 with me. Chapter 9. And he said here in verse 26, he said, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. He spoke about the shuttle with his movement, the wind with its motion, the cloud with its mystery. But here he speaks about the post with his message, which speaks of communication. Well, this is not an oak post or locust post. This is where we get our word postman, postperson, to be politically correct today. Amen. And it could be any. Could be a woman or a man or somebody very confused. One of the two. Isn't that right? Now, I ain't trying to be ugly, but I've got one that's confused that comes to my house. Amen. Hey, I don't say nothing to her because she looks like she could whoop me, so I leave her alone. I don't know why I said that. Nothing else is working. But you know, this post with his message, Job knew a lot about the post with his message. One right after the other, one right after the other, one right after the other, just as soon as they could come and nothing to come. That's how he said life is just one, gone. with a message. It's supposed to be the message speaks to the communications of our life. What are we saying as we swiftly blow by? You know, my post person, you know, you live somewhere long, very long, you get sensitive, you know, about the time the post person, whatever it is, you can hear them. I live down in the bottom of a subdivision. You have to go out the same way you come in. And I can hear most of them tore their muffler off, them rural route people. You can hear them coming way up the road pretty much. And you know about what time they're coming. So you do mission work like I do. You get real sensitive, amen, to the post person. You're always looking for good news from a far country. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, and you're thinking, well, you got that thing down pretty good. And you go out the door, so I'll take the trash out. By the time I get the trash together, take it out, there they'll be. And but about the time you go out the door with the trash, that post person, man or woman, is pulling away from the box. About the time you get a hold of the seriousness of life, it's pulling off the scene. It's just pulling off the scene. Amen. I tell you, it's not a swinging from the chandelier sermon, pretty solemn, but it's truth. You have a lot of regrets in your life. You wish, you know, that's part doesn't pull off. And, you know, my post person says a lot of things to me without ever verbally speaking to me. Amen. Sometimes I go to the mailbox and I get an unexpected check from somebody. Said, Brother, if we got I got you on our mind, pray thought we'd send you a little gas money or a little help. That's good news.
Amen.
I go back up the driveway with a smile. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. Y'all get that, maybe. But sometimes I forget about an insurance payment or something like that that I let slip my mind and go to the box and it's unexpected to me and it's not good news. But I never have gotten mad at the mailman or mail person. All they do is put the mail in the box. People get mad at preachers all the time. Some ain't come back since the first night I was here. Apparently, they didn't like the mail that was put in the box. I'm just a mailman. Amen. You take it. I preach the Bible. You can't say I don't preach the Bible. You'll have to argue with him whether it's good. Some news makes you feel good. Some news makes you feel bad. Am I doing any good, son? You communicate. You communicate to your neighbors, and probably you haven't got to talk to them verbally lately. You say something to them without saying anything. When you go out of your house on Sunday morning with your baby is dressed in her church clothes, amen, about 9:30, whatever the case may be, you're speaking to them. If they're lost people, they know where you're headed. Amen. You can't cram the Lord down their throat, but they're listening. They're listening to you. You don't have to say nothing. They're listening. On Sunday night, amen. Sunday night, a lot of folks don't think much about Sunday night services no more. But amen. I still believe it's a sin not to be there. Unless you're sick or providentially hindered, for him to know do good, do it not, to him it's a sin. James 4, that's what the book says. Amen. Amen. They know what's important. You tell them on Sunday evening what's important to them. Even in Super Bowl time. I just soon watch paint dry, watch that mess myself. My life ain't never been that bored that helped me in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How am I doing right there? That went over like a lead balloon. Now, I used to go when my boy played ball, you know, and he'd knock my home run or he'd do good. I'd jump up and yell and shout like everybody else. But when he grew out of it, I preach as a sin again. Hallelujah. That's about how it is. Amen. Amen. Truth of the matter is, you know, they know. Wednesday night, a lot of folks don't think nothing about Wednesday night no more. I travel all over. I know what I'm talking about. But you say something tonight without saying a word to them. You communicate. They know where you're headed. They know by your actions what's important to you. Am I doing any good here? What are you saying as you swiftly blow by? Young people don't think much about it. I got here, you ask some of these older people, just like yesterday, was your age. Just like yesterday, I've been married 43 years. Just like yesterday, I got married. It just dumbfounds you sometimes. Just like yesterday, my boy's this big. He's this big. 40 years old. Just boom. Am I doing any good here? Well, he spoke about the shadow with its movement, the wind with its motion, the cloud with its mystery, the post with the cloud with its mystery, the post with his message. But also here, chapter 9, in verse 26. No, I meant 26 or 25 while ago. 26. He said they are passed away as the swift ships. Here he speaks about the ships with their merchandise, which speaks of the commission or the cargo that God's invested and trusted us with. These are not ocean-going vessels. These are not cruise ships. These are barge-like boats that go up and down rivers and canals, either pull in a port and load cargo or unload cargo, pull out of that port, pull in another port, load or unload cargo. Right now, you and I are here in this earthly port. Now, it ain't going to be long that people like me is going to be pulling out of this earthly port and pulling out in that eternal port, and there's nothing going to get off in that eternal port that we did not put on here in this earthly port. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. We believe, I know you believe in the rapture. Amen. It could happen any day where the Lord's coming to get his church. Amen. If you're not saved, you're going to be left, go through the tribulation, then you're going to be, at the great white throne judgment of God, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire, all that stuff. I'm just telling you, I'm glad I'm not lost. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I know where I'm going. And I know when you get saved, God, in the mind of God, God washes your past, present, all your possible sins away. He imputes the rights of Christ to you because you believe the record that God gave of his Son. He seals you with the Holy Spirit, gives you eternal life. And in the mind of God, he makes you as clean in the mind of God as Jesus Christ himself is. That's what God does. Never be condemned as a guilty sinner again. Therefore, there's therefore now no condemnation in them of Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life. Christ made us free from the law of sin. What the law could not do is weak through the flesh. God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the rights of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Be carnal mind is death. Be spiritual mind is life and peace. For the carnal mind, enemy against God, not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So they in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. Amen. And then he goes on and says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You never be condemned. Don't have to worry about it. Christ was condemned in our place. He was made sin for us so we might be made in the righteousness of God. God took your dirty sin. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God took your dirty sin, put him up on Christ, sacrificed his darling Lamb of God at the hands of wicked people like us. Hallelujah, amen. I'm just telling you, if you ain't saved, you better get in. This thing's going to happen soon. It's going to happen. And at the rapture, if the rapture took place tonight, amen, all those that you know that were saved, that you buried in the cemetery, or they got blown up in the war and ain't nothing left but dust. God put the first man together with dust. He don't have no trouble finding the dust wherever they're at. If the sharks would eat them in the ocean, wherever they're at, God's going to resurrect that saved saint, and you and I are going to be changed in the moment between your eye. If it happened tonight, you and I, if the rapture took place, Jesus stepped down in the cloud, amen, the trumpet would sound, and you and I, that flesh and blood and them clothes going to fall to the ground, and in a moment, you're going to receive a glorified body likened unto the Son of God, and we're going up through the roof of this building in a glorified body to meet the resurrected saints and the Lord Jesus Christ somewhere up there in the heavens. You say, I don't believe that. I know you ain't going. It's for believers only. And there us that saved, where we're going to give account for the cargo that God's entrusted us with. That's 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5. If we build on gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, shall be revealed by fire, and the fire try man's work what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, himself be saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. God, we're going to face the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give account to him for what we've done with Jesus since he made our body his temple. Amen. I don't understand all of it. Be no sin there. It's all gone. Christ washed it away. But we're going to give account for our works. Not the amount, but the motive. What sort? Do we do what we do because we love him? Or we do what we do because we don't want the preacher chewing us out for not doing it? There is a difference.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
And if we've been faithful over a few things, we'll make us ruler over many. That has nothing to do with heaven. That's got to do with whatever we're going to be doing during that millennial kingdom.
Amen.
I don't understand it all, but I do know that much. Amen. You're going to give account. Amen. Nothing going to get off over there that we didn't put on over here. Nothing got off of Noah's ark after the flood that didn't get on before the flood.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth, thing.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So what are you doing as you... Does this message look as bad as some of y'all look? I'm going to burn this after tonight, but I have to finish it now. Just trying to tell you. Life's very serious.
Amen.
Amen. Very serious. And then he talks about... let me get me some water. Y'all ain't helping me much. My mouth's dried up. You can't make no spit if you don't got none. I learned that in Bible college. How to be dignified. Who cares? I went to Bible college. I'm glad I forgot about all of it. That messed me up. You get all that knowledge and you lose all that fire. I'd rather have the fire. Hey, amen. What little knowledge I can scrape up. Well, anyway, let me hurry here. Y'all still out there? Okay, where was I at? I'm getting old. Can you tell? Hallelujah. Here, also here in chapter 9, verse 26, he said they have passed away the swift ship as the eagle that hastes his prey. Talk about the shuttle with his movement, the wind with his motion, cloud with his message, post after his message, ship after his message. Here he speaks about the eagle after his meal, which speaks of the concerns of our life. I was working on a house years ago. I'd never seen an eagle loose in the wild. I'd seen them in them big nets where you could go look at them. But we was putting this roof on the house near this lake, not far from where I live, big old fancy home. I was working for this builder, putting a roof on it. And about that time, this eagle flew over. One of them old boys said, look there, there's an eagle. And this thing, it's absolutely beautiful. It was huge. And boy, he was just sailing across the air. It wasn't a Baptist eagle. It wasn't one of them. You know what a Baptist eagle is, don't you? It's just sail around. As preacher, I'll be there with you in spirit.
Come on.
I don't want to preach to no spirits. I like to see people.
Amen.
Hallelujah, don't you?
Amen.
They say, you know, preacher, I work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and the only time I can use this bass boat, this ski boat, these jet skis, this four-wheeler, this high-powered rifle. I work so hard. God's out here. He's in the trees, and he's out here in the grass, and he understands. Oh, yeah, he understands. It's just such a beautiful day. Am I doing any good here? And there ain't nothing wrong with none of that. I'm not knocking having a good time. But sometimes you got to stop, leave what's fun, and get about what's serious. I'm not against those things. I mentioned this already, probably. I have never understood, though, why anybody pay $30,000 or $40,000 for a fishing boat to catch a fish that long when you can get all you can eat at Captain D's for $4.95. I never understood it. Saved my life. I just ain't never got a hold of it. That went over real big. Amen. And I don't hunt no more, but I ain't going hunting on Sunday.
Amen.
And I ain't stealing God's tithe to buy them toys. And I ain't working 6 days a week and laying out of church on Sunday just to play.
Right.
I ain't doing it. Ain't nothing worth it.
Nope.
And I know that ain't popular preaching, and I felt a little rift on that. But that's all right. It's the truth, ain't it?
Amen.
And we live in a materialistic world. I get caught up in it just like you, America. We got so many toys.
Right.
Isn't that right? I mean, we got so much junk that our basements are packed full. Then we have to buy them little barns and little, you know, because we got so much stuff in the house, we got to buy us another shed. You know, that's a multi-billion-dollar business. I've got one. Amen. I got one. Amen. That's why we had yard sales and basement sales. We got so much junk. It ain't really junk, but it is. Amen. I go to them, but I hate having one. I hate having a yard sale. Amen. I usually want to do it in July, August. Got to go borrow stuff in the church, the tables to lay it on, and got clotheslines everywhere, and you got all that stuff out there, and you got it marked down to nothing. Yeah. Sweat just rolling. My wife and her sister has them, and all they do is swap stuff. How'd you do? We made $119. Well, thank God, we only had $3,000 in that. You're going to have to get a bigger truck. You're going to come out doing this. But you got all that stuff out there, you know, you're aggravated. Am I doing any good? I'm trying to have a good time. Some of y'all ain't going to smile no matter what. Don't make no difference to me. But, and you got that stuff out there, you know, and you got it marked down to nothing. My wife bought me this real nice leather coat for Christmas years ago, one of them sheepskin deals. I'm telling you, top of the line. Amen. I said, you can buy that in February for half, maybe even a third. But, you know, you go ahead and buy it at Christmas. You just want to get robbed real good. You don't want to wait till... you know, I tried to take care of stuff. It looked like a new one. I outgrew it. I had it out there. Had it marked down $10. $10. July, 98 degrees. And here come a guy wanting to Jew me down. Now, if you're Jewish, that's just a figure of speech. Don't go out here going on about that, whining about that. And he said, how much you want for it? I said, $10. He said, I'll give you $5. I said, not today you won't. He said, it's July. And I said, yeah, get out of my yard, and I hope February you freeze to death. Hallelujah. Wait just a minute, buddy. Let me give you this gospel track. Jesus loves you. That's a bad idea. Oh, Lord mercy. You ain't going to get revived, but you have got a little smile on your face. Hallelujah. But this eagle, if you watch him close enough, I've got plumb off track here. You're watching close enough. Your eye was sharp enough. You see that eagle as he's doing that. He'd come down on that lake and close to that water. And he'd fly back up. He'd put his wings down by his side, point his face to the ground at 85 to 125 miles an hour, swoop down on a fish close to the surface or a rabbit along the bank and crush that creature. His life depended on him. God put instinct in him. His life. He couldn't say, well, it's such a beautiful day. I'll be back next Sunday, preacher. It's such a beautiful day. I'll come back tomorrow and get that rabbit. I'll come back tomorrow and get that fish. May not be there tomorrow. Life depends on that eagle doing what he needed to do today. He did not procrastinate. Sometimes we procrastinate, myself included. I had a neighbor moved pretty good ways up the road. I was working in my yard. This has been some years ago. His name was Bob, Vietnam vet, picture of health, 56 years old, a devout Roman Catholic, moved from Chicago, bought this house. He had invested his money, got rich, bought this house not too far from me, $350,000 in. It probably cost close to $1 million now, 8,000 square foot, 3-acre swimming pool. You could make a bowling alley in the basement of this house. Nicest fella you'd ever meet. Nicest fella. And I was just working in my yard, mowing and trimming, and he was walking his dog down through there, and he said, hey, and the yard looked pretty decent then. I give up on now, ain't nothing but weeds now, I quit. But he said, how you get that to look that good? I said, I just fertilize a little bit, you know, try to make it look good. And got to know this fella, Bob, great guy. But you don't cram Jesus down somebody's throat. You can't. This guy was a devout from birth. He'd been taught Catholicism. His wife, same way. And he said, preacher, you ever play golf? And son, he had every toy that man could buy. He had this fancy boat, I mean, in his yard. He said, preacher, you ever go skiing? I said, I did when I was lost, but I don't get naked now. I got a body that looks like the Grinch stole Christmas. You do not want to uncover that mess in public. Amen. How am I doing right there? I get silly sometimes. I like Bob a lot. I go golf with him. I mean, he loved Tennessee. He got out of that rat race. I talked to him about the Lord, just a little here and there. I said, Bob, maybe go to church with me sometime. He said, let me ask my wife. I never have understood that. This guy's a war hero. He got muscles on top of muscles. I had to ask his wife to go to church. I don't understand that. Let me give you ladies something. If you wanted a wimp to start with, you ought to marry one. Why take a good man and try to make him a wimp? I don't know if that fit anywhere or not. Amen. I'm getting all sidetracked here. I'm killing this meeting. Amen. But you know, Bob was a good guy. His wife didn't want to go. And she's the boss. And one day, Bob had a massive heart attack. My neighbor, Bruce, lived two houses up from me, and I'm not bragging, but the Lord let me win Bruce to God. Amen. Bruce's whole family got saved. Go to church. When I moved there in that neighborhood, God opened the door, and I got to witness Bruce, and he came to church where I preached revival, got saved. Old Bruce, every now and then, he'll yell at me and say, "Hey, preacher, I'm sure glad you moved in here." Because it was a nightmare, all the stuff I went through to move there. And I all along I griped and grumbled. But God, the reason I moved there was to reach Bruce. That's God's will. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, he said, you know, Bruce, he thinks I'm nobody like me. And I'm tickled to death that God let me. And Bruce said, "Hey, Bob's had a heart attack, David, and he wants you to come up to the hospital." I'm talking about this eagle. He don't put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today. And I went up there, and they had him hooked to these machines. You know, you work in the hospital, you see all that, and all this stuff, these needles. And he grabbed me by the arm, and tears running. He said, "Preacher, why did God let this happen to me?" You can't answer that. He had one of them widowmaker deals. His dad had it. And all these Catholic families, yeah, I let them intimidate me. I let his wife intimidate me. She stood like a hawk. She told me one time, "Don't bother them about their religion." And you know what I mean. I mean, that's just the way they are. And I tried to pray for Bob and put the gospel. I've been trying to witness to him. And I tried to, you know, to soothe my conscience, I tried to put the gospel in that prayer. And I had to leave. I had to go out of town. I had a prison meeting in Alabama. And I thought they'd take Bob to Knoxville, Tennessee, and patch him up. You know, they usually work pretty good. They usually can fix some of that stuff. And then he'd be okay. And all the time I was in Alabama, I thought, man, I should have went ahead and just been bold in front of his wife and the whole clan. But I put it off. And all week while I was out of town, I had Bob on my mind. And I made up my mind, as soon as I get home, I don't care if the Pope's in there, the priest, I don't care who's in, I'm going right in there and tell Bob, if he don't trust Christ and get saved the right way, he's going to die and go to hell. And when I got to town, Bob died. And even now, that woman, his wife has died with cancer, house belongs to somebody else. But I can still see Bob sometimes. In my mind, as I ride by, I see Bob. He say, "Hey, preacher, you come by so that we'll go hit one when you." Too late. I put off till tomorrow. Am I making any sense?
Amen.
And he might have not gotten saved, but I dropped the ball on my part. That's how I feel. I know it's pretty solemn. It ain't. I'm not trying to beat you up about it. But our life. People say, "I'll do something for the Lord when I retire and I got to." You may not ever get there, man.
Right.
You may never see a retirement day.
Right.
You may never get your first retirement pension money or Social Security money. You may never see it today. Well, let me hurry. That's got me depressed. Amen. I'm just trying to say life, very brief. Spoke about the shuttle with its movement, the wind with its motion, cloud with its memory. Mystery, it didn't ship after its the ship and its merchandise, eagle after its meal. But let me shut down here. I know that's been kind of long there, so I reckon. Look in Job 14, and I'm winding down here now. Chapter 14, verse 2. He said, "He cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down." Here he speaks about this flower with its memory, which speaks of the contributions of our life. You ever go to a funeral where hundreds of flowers are put around there for that one that's deceased or for the family? I mean, you know, the flowers are not for that person. They're in memory of that person. It's a contribution to those folks that's hurting. And it does comfort them. It does make them feel good that folks made spent the money and made that contribution just to bring them some comfort in their time of heartache and sadness. You ever been to a funeral where the person's outlived everybody they knew? All their family's gone. They've been in the nursing home for a long time, and nobody left to even know them. And you go there, and it's bleak, and maybe one little flower at the funeral home or the nursing home's put out. It's really sad, don't it? My grandma, she's in heaven. She died when she's 93. My grandma used to drink moonshine liquor. Her and my grandpa made moonshine liquor. My grandma would drink moonshine liquor to put up with my grandpa. He'd get drunk, and he was a very mean and violent man. He beat my grandmother up, and she'd drink that stuff to put up with him. I was a 14-year-old boy, lost boy with a chip on my shoulder, smart aleck, dirty mouth, bitterness in my heart. Old man was drunk, and he slapped my grandmother around and was really crazy. And I talked back to him and cussed him one day. And before that day was over, he shot me with a 12-gauge shotgun, left me laying in a patch of woods up behind his house. And it's kind of funny now, but it wasn't funny then. I still have his bird shot all over the left side of my body and my face and my ear and my jaws. And I never did sass him no more. That worked, amen. That shut my mouth, amen. But it wasn't long after that, him and my mom visit Fairview Bible Baptist Church. And when they come home that day, they throw the liquor out the door.
Amen.
Put the shotguns in the closet. Started going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
Something wonderful had happened to them at that church. Amen.
Amen.
God changed their life.
Amen.
My mom wore dresses down here, little apron, little sock feet. And not long before she passed away, I could see her now, a little cotton-headed woman. She loved me in spite of my wickedness. Give me a bed to sleep in, bowl of beans, keep me from sleeping under a ditch or a mission house where drugs had wrecked my life. And my family would say, he's just a bum and you're wasting your time and never going, and she'd throw you out of the house if you talk about it. She loved me. My grandpa would throw all my stuff out. I was a grown man, just a bum. I'm not glorifying sin. He'd get aggravated with me because of my wickedness, throw all my stuff out in the yard, and he'd go to bed. My grandma would go out there and get it all up and bring it back in the house and put it in the bedroom and say, boy, if you'll keep your mouth shut, he'll get over being mad at you. And he would, because he cared about me too. He knew. He'd been down the road himself. My mom loved flowers. My mom had this green thumb touch. I don't know much about flowers, but I go by sometime and these flowers be blooming. I said, man, those things are beautiful, Ma. And she said, go over and get you a smell. Put your face in them. And you get this sweet smelling savor, this fragrance. And a few weeks later, you go by and there's all dead and gone. I said, Ma, what happened? She said, that's all they do this year. They're gone. That's the way life is. My mom, though, but my mom loved me. My mom taught me into going to church any way she could. And she slipped me a few dollars every now and then when nobody was paying no attention. And my mom, I can still, my mom, when my mom died, my mom had a stroke. And I know I'm boring y'all, but she's special to me. And my mom, she had a stroke. She was 93 years old. She couldn't read. She couldn't write. She was illiterate. Couldn't drive. My grandpa died years earlier, and she became a prisoner in her own house, in her own yard. But she's special to me. My mom had a stroke, and a few days before she died, had her tied. Me and my wife went in the hospital, had her tied to the bed. She's delirious and out of her head and fighting. They had tired feet in her hands to keep her hurting herself. And I went in the night, and I got my mom by the knee, and I shook her knee, and I said, hey, Mom, you know who this is? She said, she raised her in the bed. That's you, David. You'll take me home, won't you? And just a little while later, the Lord took my mom home. But when I think about my mom and the contributions, these flowers with their memory speak to the contributions of our life as we swiftly go. What kind of contribution? My grandma, when I think about my mom, same way with them flowers. Even though them flowers had withered away, I could concentrate up, I could still smell the fragrance. And when I think about my mom, it always touches my heart. What kind of contributions you make? When they read your name in the obituary, what are they going to say about you? When they lay your body here and the preacher preaches over you, what's he going to say about you? You ever been in a funeral where they say, well, that person now in the hands of just God, you know what they mean? Most likely that person went to hell. Amen. Are y'all out there?
Amen.
What kind of contribution? Are you bringing comfort? Amen. Are you contributing things like that to people? Are you, hey, well. And then last of all, chapter 14, verse 2. He fleeth also as a shadow, continue not. Spoke of the shuttle and its movement, the wind with its motion, the cloud with its mystery, the post and its message, the eagle after its meal, the ship and the merchandise, the flower with its meal. Here he speaks about the shadow with its moment, which speaks of the conclusion of our life. You know, to cast a shadow, over in Acts 5, they thought if they could get their sick and maimed people where Simon Peter's shadow overcast them. They didn't have to touch the Lord's the hem of his garment. They didn't have to touch Simon, but they thought if they could get their loved ones around somebody being very close to the Lord, oh Simon, very close to the Lord, that his very shadow. You know, to cast a shadow has everything to do with the location of the sun.
Amen.
Where is the sun located in your life?
Amen.
The sun's soon going to set, and the shadow's going to be no more. What kind of shadow are you casting? When I got saved, my grandma used to get me to go to church. She couldn't read or write. She'd get frustrated trying to tell you biblical stuff. And she said, if you just come down there to church, David, that preacher can help you. He knows how to say it. She knew if she could get me under the shadow of them folks down there at church that love the Lord, same place as she got under when she got saved. You know where I headed today? I went to church, is that church where she went, and just wanted to get under the shadow. I'd watch my grandma and grandpa change in their life. They had a shadow that affected me. What kind of shadow are you casting? Sun's going to set. Shadow's going to be gone. Life's soon going to be over. Rapture may come tonight. Are you saved? Are you 100% sure if death come your way, that you'll lift your eyes up in heaven? If I was doubted that one bit, I'd not go out that door tonight. Myself personally, if the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, and I believe he is, and us as saved, and nothing wrong with having a good time and taking a vacation, but those are things that we just, sometimes we put too much emphasis on. God's got us here for a purpose. I don't know if it's helped you or not. Walked through it, probably didn't do a good job delivering it, but the point is, life's very brief.
Amen.
Ask some young people, ask some of these older people how fast they got to where they're at. Amen. You'll be there. If the Lord has mercy on you, you'll get there, and you'll scratch your head like we do. Where did time go? Amen. Come on, preacher, I've talked long enough for sure.